Welcome to the CEN Show, the platform where we learn from the world community. I am your host, Roski Mascani. And on the panel this evening, we have Professor Amin Ra and Brother Ahi. Our guest this evening is Brother Ronnie Roberts, one of our regulars that come anytime I request him. So I'm very pleased to have him here with us tonight again. But before we get started with Brother Ronnie and the topic that he's going to present, I want to say congratulations to our platform. This is our fourth year doing this, and we're on almost every week, twice a week, with the CEN Show and Conscious Corner with Professor Amin Ra, and that's Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And I'm just elated to do this and to keep doing it, because I know that it's worthy, and it's a thing of being educated and educating. And we've had tremendous amount of guests in 4 years. I mean, multitudes of guests. And I want to thank each and every one of them for participating in this forum here that we have to educate the masses. We're using YouTube as our main source to get this information out, and it's one of the most popular platforms worldwide. So that's why we use it. And I just want to thank Brother Mashinda, who always shows up. Brother Ahi joined us maybe 8 or 9 months ago, and he's been coming very consistently. He hardly ever misses. And Professor Ra has been here from day one. And Brother Ronnie, our guest this evening, he, like I said before, he shows up anytime I request him if he's not doing something else that he had already scheduled. So I appreciate everyone. Brother Ronnie, I appreciate you coming tonight, and I want to get started with our topic this evening, and so you could go ahead and present the topic and say a few things about it, and then we'll go around this panel and do what we normally do. Thanks for coming this evening.
You kind of caught me off guard with me being the topic. This is somewhat of a geopolitical show from the standpoint that we're trying to educate the masses about the political system and that we're ensnared in as Black men in America, and present our views and our take on it and how we can best survive. I think that every relevant conversation that we're having in the present time is some way related to politics. And because politics touches so many aspects of our lives. One of the things I want to talk about is the aftermath of the election, particularly why I went one way or another way, to get some feedback from you guys, mainly on your take on it, because we all have different takes based on, we have some commonality because we're all on this show and we're about uplifting Blacks and, more so than anything, educating them so they can uplift themselves. But it's just such a complicated scenario. I was reminded, I went to a Christmas dinner last night with my girl, and it was with Edwin Jones Investment Company. And as in many things I've been in throughout my life, been the oldest of the baby boomers, born in 1946, is that I'm often, in terms of professional gatherings, in a significant minority. And of course, my girl and I were the only Black couple in the dinner last night. And the my investment analyst, his name is Bobby Abel, very personal guy. From East Texas, oil fields, his family had a little money, but he's about making people money or protecting our investments. And the first thing that he said was, I'm not going to talk about your money because you wouldn't be sitting in this room for this Christmas party on a yearly basis if I were losing you money. And the first thing he said was, elections have no influence on the markets. Your money is safe. Your money will be safe with either party, simply because the financiers of both parties are the same people, essentially Wall Street and billionaires. As many billionaires as Trump may have seemed to have, they have an equal number on the Democratic side. So it just tells you that things can change from one standpoint to the other. We went from Biden to Trump, but things kind of remain the same, particularly with guys like us, for example. Our lives are not going to change significantly under any administration, unless it just starts putting people in concentration camps, and that's not going to happen. Why won't the election affect our lives? This is one of the key questions that I would like to talk about with you guys. For the most part, who's ever in office, things really don't change significantly for black men. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
No matter who's in office, things don't significantly change, simply because the system is built so positively powerful for the white man, who we got to remember was 90% of the population when the Constitution, 80 to 90% of the population was white when the Constitution was formed, and of course all of the signers of the Constitution were white, and they. You couldn't have a constitution without getting the states in the South in it. And to get the states in the South, the constitution has built-in racism. What I mean by built-in racism is the United States Senate, which is two senators for every state. So you got two states, North Dakota, South Dakota, with not even a population of Los Angeles. And they got four senators and LA has two. So that's a built-in advantage to rural and agrarian states. Then you have, on the other hand, the Electoral College, which is even more biased. All electoral votes go to this candidate or that candidate. Some states have split ways that they do it, but for the most part, the Electoral College favors the underdog, i.e., Trump winning in 2016 and lost a popular vote by 5 million to Hillary Clinton. That should never be. Is that democracy? Democracy is supposed to be the one who gets the most votes wins. But it's the most electoral college votes, which is a system designed to bolster enhanced white supremacy. In my mind, from day one, I thought the election would be about the maintenance of white supremacy, which is the key term for MAGA. Make America great again or make America white again. That's what they're trying to do, because demographically they're losing every day. MAGA's dying, MAGA's old. The young people in MAGA are not buying it as deeply and in significant numbers to maintain it. So we get down to basically, why did a woman of color who was eminently qualified and had been the incumbent vice president lose in all of the seven battleground states? The red states and the blue states always hold. You're not going to get any upsets there. So it's about the seven battleground states, and she lost all seven. It's about the fact that just 8 years prior, probably the most qualified person ever to run for president of the United States, Hillary Clinton, even though I wasn't a great big fan of hers, but I was certainly a fan of hers over Trump, was beaten by him. Why would we in Black America or any part of America think that a woman of color was going to beat this guy? And the white woman with the skill set, the knowledge, and more so than anything, the people around her who she's willing to take advice from, because yes, it's a job that's so huge that you have to give up chunks of it to other people, i.e. the cabinet, and you're the most important person in Washington. I probably couldn't find 10 people on the street to name who the next chief of staff is. And that's an unelected position, and that's the most powerful position in Washington. The chief of staff is in on everything. The chief of staff determines who gets to see the president. You guys know who it is? By any chance?
When? For Biden or for Trump?
For Trump. Who is Trump's new chief of staff?
He's he made one of his clonies out. I can't remember their name.
It's a female.
Yeah.
The co-campaign manager. Her name is Susie Wiles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this person right here, that's the most important person in the country beside the president. And it's an unelected position. Powerful, powerful person. But she was his campaign, co-campaign chairman. And she and the other co-campaign chairman, it got something like a $3 million bonus just for him winning over the salaries that they were making while running this campaign, and ran an absolutely brilliant campaign. Susie Wiles is a very, very smart lady, very accomplished. She knows what's going on, knows both sides of the coin, because she's not always been a Trumper. But like many in the Republican Party, she came over because you don't come over, you're out of politics. You have to pay it. You're being threatened to put in jail, like Liz Cheney. You know, a lot in our community think Liz Cheney's a hero. There's not one position that Liz Cheney and I agree on that's significant in this world. Not one. Other than the incoming president is a clown and unfit and unqualified for the office. Be that as it may, he's a lot smarter cat than a lot of people give him credit for. A lot smarter. As I said, the same thing about George Bush. A lot smarter guys than you give them credit for. I mean, it's just because there's no way they could get that position without being smart, without pulling the right buttons, without pushing the right people. There's just so many things that make up, you know, the national political scene that it's not even funny. Digressing even further, looking at the demographics of the vote itself, 1 in 4 Black men voted for Donald Trump, 25%. Trump won Hispanic men 50% to 49%. So he got half of them, half of the Black men, I mean half of the Hispanic vote and a quarter of the Black vote. Well, why are we upset? Because he's in office. A significant number of our people want him there. I mean, what do you say to that? Now, overwhelmingly, Black women voted pretty much dang near 90% for Harris. But Black men, only 75%. So 9 out of 10 Black women voted for Harris, and only 3 out of 4 Black men. Why is that? Is it because Black men don't want to take orders from white women? From Black women or any woman, period? You think some of that's in that equation? You think that some Black men just won't vote for a woman, period, which is a significant factor, which is probably basically why she and Hillary Clinton both lost, because our country is just not yet ready to have a female leader, which to me will solve all of our problems. We get a strong Black woman in there for 8 years, or a strong white woman for that matter, with the right ideas and progressive ideas, and is willing to accommodate us as a people's, and we can really be a great America again. But until that happens, it's not going to happen. So what really happened is just, to me, in my mindset, a continuation of trying to hold on to white supremacy. They know that they're dying off. They know that their numbers are getting less and less. So what do? They go pull in half of the Hispanic men under their umbrella. How is that possible? And he is daily talking about sending their relatives back in mass sweeps, housing them, jailing them, essentially, and sending them back to countries that don't want them or that will violate them because of their political beliefs. And in some cases, they're criminals that go straight to jail. Why do they vote for him? Well, you can say with the Hispanics, and 90% of them in this country are Catholics. Catholics don't believe in abortion, which is a democratic principle, but not only a democratic principle, but a United States principle, because two-thirds of the country supports abortion in some form or fashion, including well over 50% of Republicans. Another slickness, another just fantastic way that they control the narrative in this country, because number one, they control the media, they control the money. And the media and the money, we have an Australian, Rupert Murdoch, who is not, he's an American, but he's an Australian, who controls the narrative of the largest news organization in the entire world. And they're lying all day long. And, we're talking about Trump talking about the size of Arnold Palmer's genitals. And you hear that all day long on MSN and CNBC. And they over and over, they're talking about that. And you got this other competing news station that's outdrawing them 3 to 4 to 1. They're lying all day long. Whatever your political persuasion is, if you're a person of intelligence and can reason, you know that they're lying, but they're telling the lies that you're comfortable with. So people, really good people, and trust and believe me, millions of Republicans who voted for Trump are really good people. Really good people. You say, how could they? Yeah, they could. Just as we say, how could they? A significant portion of them, and they're still in the minority, in the majority, remember, guys, think, how could we possibly vote for Kamala Harris? How is she fit to lead us? So that dynamic is just so complicated. It's just like many of the problems we have as a society. And not only our society, but all over the world. How do you solve unemployment? How do you get poverty out of the way? How do you get these 10 million people we got on the streets in America, and 1 million of them in California alone? How do we solve these intractable social issues? How do we clean out the projects? How do we, we're only as great as a country as our weakest link. It would seem to me that at some point, those at the top, we want to bring them up a little bit closer to, let's get them to the middle, or get them where they can sustain themselves without being on the public dole, or, and without being a part of the penal system. But the greed and the corruption and the power at the top, and not just here in America, but in every country in the world, it's like that. Africa, particularly. Those at the top are so greedy for power. Trump doesn't want to be the damn president. That's the hardest job in the world. He wants the power. He has all the money. He can't spend all the money he's got. No Trump kid will ever have to work if they really don't want to. But this is just the power and the control. Trump is a month, was born a month after me. I'm too old to be president of the United States, man. I'm 78 years old. I'm too old to do that. I don't have the energy. I don't have the desire to do that. And I'm pretty sure I'm in a lot better shape physically and mentally than Donald John Trump. For sure. But that's neither here nor there. Considering a significant amount of our people voted for a man and a party and a movement that is designed to weaken some of our strongholds in our community, such as DEI, and considering they're going to take a term as cool. I mean, the definite the woke. They've made woke bad, and woke simply means aware and actively attentive to important societal facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice. If social justice is achieved by the black or the people of color, because Hispanics are going to be the dominant population in this country in 25 to 30 years for sure. If people of color are to ever get what they need to be, we got to correct the systemic injustices that are built into our society, such as the Electoral College, the United States Senate, what goes on in every state and every district in America, reapportionment, where the politicians in power decide how the districts are apportioned so we can minimize the vote of people of color who are in many cities across this great nation, the majority. So until we can get our hands on those levels, things can't actually change. DEI has been killed at every major corporation in America. Who does that hurt the most? Do you think it's the 25% of the black men who went to vote for Donald Trump, or the 50% of Hispanic men? You think some of them may be hurt by DEI getting wiped out? The Supreme Court effectively killed affirmative action. Is affirmative action and DEI a good thing? Heck yeah, it is, because it's the great equalizer in our society. Is it a mechanism that's all about equality? No, it's not. But when the system is so unequal, you have to have counterbalances that will bring it closer to the middle. You know, when I was a kid in the 50s, in the early 60s, the country was really ruled by the middle, whether they were Republicans or Democrats. Eisenhower, I remember Dwight Eisenhower, one of our great generals, being the president. Nobody was mad about that in the black community, because the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats in those days, and they had bitter fights and they were always divided, but on the most of the social issues, they were pretty much as one as a country. And one of the reasons was the news. People's opinions are formed by the news. Who was the most prominent newsman in that era? Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite. Everybody in America trusted Uncle Walter. Now you've got Fox over here spouting lies. You got MSNBC talking about stuff that, you know, they're talking about people rather than issues all day. The outrageous things he's done rather than how do you fix them and what we got to do to fix them. You know, we've become so overtly partisan as a country that we've lost reason. And not only on the Republican side of the house, on the Democratic side too, because we made some serious mistakes. We made some serious mistakes where they can put us in a corner saying, okay, you guys are for gay people. Well, shit, everybody's gay. Every race, every ethnic group is gay. So what? Why should anyone care? But they make people care from a negative standpoint. We who have lived in California for significant portions of my life, gay means nothing to us for the most part. It doesn't mean anything to the white people in California either. Or to the Asian people. Any people, because we all have gay members and all, you know, gay is just gay. But you get it down to the South, and where I'm at in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, a state where all 77 counties voted for Donald John Trump, it's a whole different issue. They make it about negative, and they got gay kids. And they ostracize them. But, you know, it's kind of encouraging to me. They had a strong LBQT parade here in Oklahoma City this year, and they have a strong movement, and it's times are changing. It's gonna, our kids, not our kids, but our grandkids may see some of these changes, in particular our great grandkids. There is hope. You know, Trump was president 4 years ago, and we survived it. We can survive it again. It may be, we may deserve him for being so lax and not talking about people rather, but talking about issues. We one of the keys is we don't really have a leader of our people. We don't have one. We don't have a Bill Clinton. We don't have a Barack Obama. we have some wannabes, but guys like that, they're just elevated because of the power of who they are. We don't have that person, and we really need one. And the best we got are all, right now, to me, particularly Black women. What's the lady in Georgia, Stacy? What's her name? The one that ran for governor?
Well, who?
What's the Black lady's name in Georgia that ran for governor, Stacy?
That's Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. Man, she has the intellect, the political skills, the whole nine yards. She can never be president, though. Never can, never could be. There's, you know, there's others who could do it. I mean, my fraternity brother, Hakeem Jeffries, was the Speaker of the House. He has the
minority
job.
Speaker. He's a minority.
Yeah. Hakeem Jeffries, like, he could do it. I mean, there's plenty of people that could do it. But the thing about that type thing, the best and the brightest don't aspire for that type of office. Because you're going to get drug in the mud, and half the people in the country are not going to support you. I don't give a damn what. If you were friggin', you know, Jesus would have lost with Trump, because it's time for Trump. This country wanted Trump. Why are we upset? Because this country wanted Trump. And our people who look like us had a large part to do with him getting that. Or was it just the system itself? Was it just his time? I don't know the answer. I have my takes on it. I certainly want to hear from you guys, and so we could come to some sort of consensus, so we could have a message to deliver to those who are interested, to those who like this show, to those who we can share this knowledge with, bring these ideas together, which is what politics should be all about. You put your ideas out here, and then you come together, you mail them, and you take the best of what everybody has to offer. You know, to me, we'll never be right till we get the Electoral College abolished, and until a popular vote is the vote, and something hasn't been done about the Senate. Thank God for the filibuster in the Senate, as we'd be in big trouble. And we were about to, and came within two votes of killing the filibuster under Biden. Man, Mitch McConnell, who has done more than Trump could ever think about doing, because he is the one who approves of all the judges and the tax cuts, saved us. Because he wouldn't allow the filibuster to be killed. But it was very, very close. So.
Yeah. Well, you said a bit much there, Ronnie. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Ahi, then I'm going to go to Professor Rob. Ahi?
Yeah. I work with some white people, and they're congenial people. And I don't know if I could really call them good people. It's like having cops stand around and watch another cop murder somebody, not saying anything or step in to prevent the murder. And no, I guess those are the good cops. But yet the murder is still taking place, and they're sitting there and they're just watching it and doing nothing. And it's I don't think it's so complicated about the why people voted the way they did. I don't understand why non-white people embrace white supremacy. Now that I'm clueless about. It's not about the policy. He never talked about policies, and the policies he did was always about how we're going to eliminate non-people of European descent, people that aren't of European descent. That's the only policy he has, even down to his support for abortion, his support against abortion, which is clearly about making sure that these white women have white babies, and we can't kill our white babies, because it's all about the power move, like you said. It's about the power. It's about white supremacy and privilege. It's not about policy, because the sister had policy on everything. Everything she wanted to talk about, she had policy. Trump couldn't articulate any type of policy. Even he wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, but he has nothing to replace it. He wants to have mass deportation of Spanish-speaking people, but he doesn't have a plan. I heard this white guy saying, he's a really articulate and really bright guy, somewhat privileged and powerful. He said he voted for Trump for one reason. That is for the preservation of the white race. He did not vote for policy. And none of the other white people voted for policy. They voted for the preservation of themselves. And what's really puzzling is, where are they really the majority? You said they were the majority during the Declaration of Independence. But I don't know, did they really outnumber the Aborigines, the Africans, and the Mexicans? The system? Is it the system or just the people in the system? Is this a systemic prejudice or just the people in this that are running the system are just racist? Can the system, with the right people in it, make it fair for all folk? This system here, it is a tough time we in, because critical thinking is not popular. Nobody wants to look at what's happening beneath the surface. When Kamala was asked the question, what would she do different from Biden? And she said, basically nothing. Biden kept every promise he made to the public. We were ahead of the game with Biden. But she was criticized because she said she wouldn't change or had nothing to change with Biden, and he's successful. Like you said, Chris could have been down here moonwalking on water, and he'd have still lost. So where do we go from here? We don't control the education system, which is really the basis of making of having critical thinking and doing and being logical and doing simple but profound things for this country and the world. Our education system is crap. The Americans are the worst educated people in the world. Sophistication or being sophisticated is looked down upon. Being an academician or somebody who has a bent toward the scholar, scholarly bent, or it's frowned upon. Intellects are booed. It's whoever put this plan in motion is winning. It's winning. I have hope that maybe our young people can turn it around. But I don't know if I would put a whole lot of money on it. I'm as perplexed as you when our major companies overnight said we're going to just eliminate EDI, McDonald's, Wendy, Walmart. How do we come back from this? Trump said, vote for me this time, get in, and you won't have to vote again. I'm going to take care of it all. My brother, can you tell me, what do you think he meant by that? Is he going to destroy or do his best to destroy this country and his promise to the people in this country? What does he mean? I'm confused. So,
Brother Ali, that is the plan, to keep everybody confused. Because if we're confused, it's easy to control us.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I was reading this book, and it's called Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And it took me a while to find this book. The powers that be, from Amazon to a lot of bookstores, refuse to sell it, but they'll sell other books talking about how it is fiction and how it's a lie. But it basically talks about the plan of the Jews to control the world. And I was reading this paragraph. It says, governing the world, the best results are obtained by means of violence and intimidation. It says, in politics, we must know how to confiscate property without any hesitation. If by doing so we can obtain subjection and power, our state, following the way of peaceful conquest, has the right of substituting for the terrors of war. Executions less apparent and more expedient, which are necessary to uphold terror, producing blind submission. By new laws, we will regulate the political life of our subjects as though they were so many parts of a machine. Such laws will gradually restrict all freedom and liberties allowed by the Gentiles. It is essential for us to arrange that. Besides ourselves, there should be in all countries nothing but a huge proletariat, so many soldiers and police loyal to our cause, in order to demonstrate our enslavement of the Gentile governments of Europe. We will show our power to one of them by means of crime and violence, that is to say, a reign of terror. Our program will induce a third part of the populace to watch the remainder from a pure sense of duty or from the principle of voluntary service. This was written like 100 years ago. This seems like America right now. So I'm just going to end with that. And I'm going to lean on you, brothers, my wise brothers, to help me understand more clearly what's going on here and where are we headed? And will we ever recover from the next 4 years?
Wow. Appreciate it, Ali. Professor Rob?
Appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. First of all, I want to thank Brother Rodney for coming on and sharing his wealth of knowledge with us and his deep thought and critical analysis of what's going on in the political apparatus of this country. I want to thank Brother Ahi for his deep thoughts and perspective of what's going on. And you know, both of y'all have made dynamic point. I just, it's like being a person that has studied Black philosophies and black struggle, you see things a little different. Because you take, you look at what Malcolm said. Malcolm El-Haj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X said, I'm not a Democrat or Republican, and got sense enough to know it. I'm not even an American. You understand? You know, and he didn't mean he didn't live in America. He just said he don't identify with the American creed philosophy because it was what? Democracy is hypocrisy. Now, you want to listen to white folks, that's fine. And you know, there's some probably some white folks and families that do good things, and some white folks that you know, hire black people, try not to be racist. Some white women marry black men, black men marry white women. So, you know, you can't argue that. But the point is that when did this country become our country? We didn't come here to be in this country. Other people come to be in it and accept their way of life and believe that they offer opportunity for them. We didn't come here like that. And we ain't never been treated as equal. All the things we've been through. And you still say, this is my country, I love it, and we can change it, we can make America. How are you gonna make America better when it has institutional apparatus that locks in, as Brother Ronnie said, from the Electoral College to the various forms of gerrymandering, to the very form of voter suppression, to the very form of exclusion from the beginning, and as he pointed out, from a population standpoint, the Native American and the Africans brought here outnumbered them in various states and in various territories as populations, but they ruled by the gun. One thing we never could comprehend, as Dr. Karenga always teaches, why would people do you like that and you ain't done nothing to them? That's how he pointed out. How could they watch black people get killed for just walking down the street with some Skittles and orange juice? And another white man, vigilante, and the police told him, don't follow the man. And he gets off. I mean, I don't know how you see it. I mean, you know, I read a lot too, but I read black books mostly. I went to college, but I didn't go to college like the regular student, because I came in up in the 60s. So we came to hustle to college to get the best grades we can get, just to get in position to help our people. That was our mission. But now you got a generation that's talking about, we so hurt Trump won. I'm leaving the country. You understand? What we gonna do? Woe is we. Like, as Ronnie pointed out, and you too, Ahi, we survived worse conditions than this. I mean, we developed under worse conditions than this. When Black Wall Street was built, that was during the racist times, and it was proved because they bombed them and burned them out. Rosewood, they bombed them and turned it out. I don't know how you expect. It's like this. Ronnie was saying that who voted for Trump and who did this. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? You understand? This is a racist, sexist, and capitalist and militarism country. If it don't go their way, they'll take it.
Yes.
Now they interrupts every country's political system to get and put their lackeys in it, and then get mad when somebody just send an email or use Twitter or something to try to influence the election here. and mostly white people. They blame it on everybody. They gonna blame the election on black people and Latino. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? How can you believe figures don't lie, but liars do figures? You understand? I mean, that's just common sense. How you believe the election was not rigged? All of them been rigged since the beginning of this country. Ain't been an election. George Washington wasn't even elected. Half the delegates couldn't even get there. You understand the first one though? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. Militarism. But I don't believe nothing. And Ronnie's so right. NBC, MSNBC and CNN spent so much time talking about Trump rather than what was good. Remember when we start the show, what's good? You know, what's good? You got to talk about the good. All they talked about was Trump said this. How many times you going to say he's a liar? You don't even have to say it. I mean, this is a man that led an insurrection. This is a man convicted of 39 felonies. You get a misdemeanor and can't get a job. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you believe this election was not rigged, something wrong. You understand how you believe that one out of every four black people voted, or black men? First of all, most black men don't vote.
That's real.
You understand? Yeah, in the barbershop talking shit. They don't vote. The majority of our people don't want to register because they get called by jury duty. So they don't even register sometimes. I'm just telling you, man, it's deeper. Latinos, many of them are Catholics. They may have voted for Trump because they for against abortions themselves. You understand? There's a different reason why people do what they do. But the struggle continues. It's a concept of how you see yourself in this country. The struggle continues. And y'all talking about social justice, human justice. How you gonna get it from inhuman people who believe that they are sane? They actually be there sane. Destroyed the atmosphere, the whole atmosphere with climate change. Bombing people and sitting there watching them kill every Palestinian they can find. And with America complicit. Amnesty International came out with this report. It said Israel and America are committing genocide, that America was complicit in the genocide. What did they do? Demonize the national amnesty, criticize it. They don't know what they're talking about, but if they were saying something was happening to them, they would cite it. You understand? I mean, I don't know what to say, you know, other than the struggle continues to educate, but you got parents that don't even talk about politics at home. You got young mamas that pick up their kids and don't even hug them. They're too busy on the cell phone when they're picking up their kids from school. Just go and watch. Get in your car and then drive off with they talking on the phone. No love, no compassion, no education. You understand? Get mad when they get bad grades, but they ain't seen to it that they did their homework or turned it in. You know, you're going to whoop them because you ain't doing your job. And you ain't educating them to who they are, where they are, and what they're up against. You understand? I mean, how do you raise kids in foster home, placement home, and you're responsible for them? And biologically, and you don't know where they are, and they don't know who they are. They think they're a Crip, they think they're blood, they think they're 13th Street, all that stuff. And you sitting up there in the house, you understand, just feeding them and not educating them. You understand, having family meetings and discussing what's going on. And how are we going to get out of this situation? How can we move forward economically? Oh man, it's a struggle. It is a deep struggle, but it's a beautiful struggle. We've progressed through struggle. Every ounce of relief that we have gotten from civil rights to Black Power movement was a struggle. Every inch out of the Holocaust of enslavement. People don't even mention that no more. They're talking about reparation. And they kick it down. They haven't even acknowledged that they enslaved them. You talking to them, that's off the table. You understand? So all my point is that Ronnie was so right about envy of the Fox, but institutional silence. How could the criminal justice system be so silent? How could the courts be so silent? How could the churches not come out and drove? I'm talking all churches. You understand? From a moral standpoint, character don't matter because it never did. I mean, people talking about, oh, he did this, he did that. Well, look what his foreparents did to everybody. mean, they had land grabs. Who were they grabbing it from? I mean, it's a trip. I'm just saying that. Now I conclude. Ronnie's right. I have no problem with brothers and sisters that see themselves as American and want to hold America to its creed, to its constitution, to its advocacy of fair, each person treated right. And you believe it and you want to work with that, fine. You want to see yourself American? Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem. I can work with you. You understand? I can work with you. I mean, I'm with unity with diversity. You're welcome to your thought. I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish. I don't care if you're married to a white person or a person, I'm about the struggle for the best of us as a people. And I just know that racism is the dominant factor in this country. And Democrats crossed over to vote if they voted for this man, just
Yes,
like they
indeed.
crossed over to vote for Duke Majan when Tom Bradley was running for mayor in California in '84. He ran for governor, and they crossed over. He won the Democratic nomination. They crossed over. Same thing they did with Hillary Clinton. They cross over in a minute. When you go to court, all the attorney want to do is give the person, the jury, a reason to vote for him. And all Trump did was give them a reason: white preservation. You understand? Women voted against their interests, one of their interests. They had a lot of interests. It wasn't just abortion and their right, their preservation, and their trust that they have in their man, because she understands from their standpoint of that our preservation, white power, white nationalism, white supremacy is at stake. And they don't care about being a minority in the world or in this country, as long as they got the majority of bombs and guns and things of this nature. That's all I got to say.
Wow. Man, that
Yeah.
was something. But all I want to add to it is if we as rational thinking people stop participating in the detrimental things that keep us from thriving and don't participate in activities that don't benefit us, that would help us. become better than what we are, and it won't feed this system as much. This system thrives off of us participating in the activities that they provide for us that's not healthy. And they feed off of our indiscretions. It keeps them thriving. So that's a little bit I wanted to add to it. I heard a lot this evening, and it was very informative and insightful. And I just want to keep doing this. And it's let me just tell you a little bit about what's going on. I don't ask for subscriptions, and I don't ask for likes. But this has been 4 years, and our subscriptions are catching up with our videos. We had way more videos than subscriptions. Now it's starting to come to the point where the subscriptions are catching up with the videos. So that must mean that what we're doing is growing organically, and only it could get better. Only it could be better. Next week, well, before I get to that, is there anything else that anybody would like to say before we close out this evening?
Thank you.
Thank yeah, congratulations you. On our fourth year. Sure. Congratulations to my buddy, my friend, Brother Ronnie, and what he's doing out there in the South. It is deep out there, brother.
Oklahoma.
But as Malcolm said, quit talking about the South. If you north, if you south of the Canadian border, you're in the South.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's yes, sir.
So nobody else have anything? We could go ahead and close. So next week, we have Brother Thomas coming on, one of our team members. And I didn't get a chance to get with him to get his topic, but he said he's coming on. So I'm looking forward to that. Professor Roth, anything for Tuesday of next week?
I'm trying to get Black Lives Matter. But I'll let you know tomorrow.
Okay.
The sister that ran with for vice president, Dr. Malina Abdullah.
Yes.
I'm trying to get her and Brother Keeley. See if they'll come on. I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from that sister and that brother.
Yeah, she said she ain't never vote for Democrat again. It don't matter. Matters in local election. The only election that everybody vote for is a presidency. You don't vote vice presidency. They choose their vice president. You vote for their ticket. That's the only election. It's a federal, national election. Everybody else vote in state for your senators. The state, United States senators voted by the state. Congressmen by the state, districts. Policies. You can have some policies, some national, to ratify the Constitution. That'd be a national vote. You understand? But it's just a deep thing, man. It's a deep thing. All right.
Well, I appreciate Brother Ronnie, Brother Ahi, and Brother Professor Rock. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
And let's keep doing this.
Everybody, all right, Ryan.
Have a great rest of the day.
Take care, Ryan. Thank you.